kind of person, if you will. But again, as I say, any time that the Word of God is preached, I believe there's a nugget of truth that'll help everybody. And this may seem like it's more directed to the unsaved individual this morning, but I do believe that if you are a strong Christian and if you're saved this morning on your way to heaven, I still very much believe you'll be able to get something out of this message as well. John chapter 10, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read and then you read verses 17 through 22. If you have it, say amen. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you again for the Word of God, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity. I often wonder why it is you'd call me to preach, call me to pastor this church. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again this morning. I don't take it lightly. I pray, Lord, that you speak through me. I pray you'd encourage hearts. And maybe there's one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. I pray today would be the day of salvation, that wouldn't be put off. Maybe there's a Christian here that maybe needs to reset a button or recommit or strengthen their commitment to you. Lord, I pray, God, whatever needs to be done, Holy Spirit, you will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We just read a tragic story. Though I've seen, and being in the ministry, and I've even heard illustrations of many stories very similar to this. Story's been told of a pastor that started a church in a Midwestern city. Started a church, and just as he was getting the church planted and getting the foundation and so forth, he'd go out, of course, pass out John and Romans and knock on doors and get the name out and go soul winning and tell people about Jesus. He came by this young man. A very young man, if you will, about 20, mid-20s, if you will. And he came across his house and knocked on his door and told him who he was, starting a church here in town, and love to have you be a part of our church, and just wanted to give you, extend an invitation. Then he went on, he said, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" This young man said, "No, I don't." So the preacher went ahead and opened up the Bible and went through the plan of salvation, just as I did with Wendy and David the other night in their nursing home there. And went ahead and opened up the Bible, and he asked this man, "Do you believe what the Word of God says about knowing for sure you can be saved?" He says, "Yes, sir, I do." But this young man said, "But I'm not ready for that." This young man went ahead and had the preacher look around. When he came up to the house, where the preacher came up, beautiful home. By the way, he was a single guy, but he had a beautiful home. He had the nicest of cars, brand new cars. He had the toys of the day, if you will. He went around out back, his swimming pool out back, and, you know, this guy had a good job, and he had a lot of stuff and a lot of good things. He said, "Preacher, I believe what you say. I believe that book right there. I've even heard it before, but, you know, I'm not ready for that." Grieved the preacher, of course, but he says, "Would you mind if I followed up on you from time to time?" And the young man said, "No, I have no problem. You come by anytime, Pastor." And, you know, on a weekly basis, this man, as he was getting his church going and so forth, on a weekly basis, this man would go ahead and come by and talk to him a little bit, just kind of chum with him a little bit, get to know him. And he would ask him, "Are you ready to be saved yet?" He says, "No, preacher, not yet." Another week would go by, and he'd go ahead and chum with him, get to know him, maybe a little cup of coffee, just trying to win him to the Lord, if you will. And, "Hey, are you ready to be saved yet?" "No, I'm not ready to be saved yet." Week and week after week, this pastor was faithful in trying to follow up, and because he so desperately wanted this young man saved. "Pastor, you don't understand. I've got all this stuff, and I don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't feel like if I do that, I'm going to have to change everything about me and so forth." He got a call. The pastor got a call in his office there one day, and it was from the hospital, and he asked, "Are you Pastor so-and-so?" "Yeah, I'm Pastor." "Do you know this young man?" "Yeah, I do." Says he just got killed. He just wrapped his car around a telephone pole and he was killed just like that. The pastor goes on to say he was grieved. He put his head down, put his hands in his face, and he just wept because he did not know if this young man ever got saved. When I read this, I thought of that particular illustration. I've heard the preacher, preach that particular illustration, if you will. And I've seen the same scenario, even in my ministry, door knocking, people not wanting to be saved and so forth. And you pray that they get saved and you try to follow up and try to work with them. But you know, I saw the parallel here of this young, rich young ruler and then that young man. You know, the story, I'm going to go ahead and the title of my message this morning is The Story of the Poor Old Slave. The text we read about talks about a man, very much like that young man I just talked about, but it talks about a man who came to the right person at the right time. He came asking the right question and he received the right answer. And the tragedy lies, however, in the fact that he made the wrong choice. He made the wrong decision. He came close to salvation, but he walked away into hell. The Bible says that he was a young man. The Bible says that he was a rich man. He was all set. He had the stuff. He had it all. I mean, I got a good job. I've got money, and I've got money in the bank, and you know, I got good clothes, and in that day, I got the finest chariot, the finest horses, if you will. Got a nice mansion, if you will. I've got it all, which oftentimes make it harder for people to get saved. The Bible says in Matthew 19:24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But we know he was a young man. We understand he's a young man. We understand that he's a rich man. He had all kinds of money. He had all kinds of stuff. Luke's account of the story says that he was a ruler. So he not only had money, he not only had was a young man, vibrant energy and so forth, but he also had power. And that's why he is come to known as the rich young ruler. However, details concerning this meeting with Jesus reveal that really he is a poor old slave. So I'm going to walk through this story a little bit this morning. I don't want you to end up like he did. I don't, you know, and again, I understand the crowd I'm talking to on a Sunday morning. You know, you can remember a time when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You were convicted. Someone maybe sat at your table, or someone sat at your door, or stood at your door, or someone in maybe the church service showed you from the Word of God how you could be saved, and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. But let me ask you a question real quick, and we'll get into this for briefly in this particular message. But how's your commitment to Jesus Christ, Christian? Are you totally committed, or are you wrapped up in stuff, in materialism that goes ahead and keeps you from being what God wants you to be, from serving Him? But here's this young man, you know, I don't want you to end up like he did. You know, he knew the truth, and he heard the truth from Jesus himself, and I don't want you to end up turning the truth of the Word of God on how you can be saved and find yourself in an eternity in hell. Let's look at this poor old slave's spiritual dilemma. He had the right words in verse number 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. This poor young slave, but this rich young ruler here in the Bible, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Notice the words, he comes running to Jesus. He also goes ahead and kneels before him. He bows down before him. I believe his actions were sincere. I believe that his actions were from the heart, if you will. And I noticed that words, he came a-running, if you will. I think that signifies, that shows his urgent need of needing something, of needing that emptiness that's in his heart, of needing a Savior. He bows, knowing that Jesus is one to be held in honor. He also probably had heard the words of the Lord in verse number 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in there. Therein, he likely may have heard them words, if you will, just prior to him running to Jesus and kneeling before him. But sincerity alone is not enough to save his soul. Let me just say this again. His sincerity alone is not enough to save his soul. If that were the case, then many members of cults would be saved, and that Jesus would be just considered a way to get to heaven. But we know that Jesus is the way to get to heaven. I believe this young man, he desired to be saved. I believe he was sincere. But he had some misconceptions that must be dealt with before he could be saved. First of all, he had a faulty understanding of salvation. He wanted the do kind of salvation. He wanted the works kind of salvation. You know, salvation is not what you can do. Let me just say this. Salvation is already done. Amen and amen. It's already done. It is done 2,000 years ago when Jesus on that cross said, it is finished. It is done. You don't have to do anything to go ahead and be saved. All you have to do is simply trust, believe that you're a sinner, know that you're a sinner, believe that you're on your way to hell, that Jesus was died, he was buried, he rose again, and you need to trust him by faith, and he is the only one that can get you to where Jesus Christ is, and that's in heaven today. It's not all about what you can do. It's already been done at the cross. He also had a misconception. Number two, he had a faulty understanding of self. You see, he wanted to get self involved. He failed to realize that all self could do is produce corruption. All that I can do in my human flesh to try to get me to heaven, it just produces corruption. Listen to the verses here. Isaiah 64:6, the Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The Bible also says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. He has turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Follow along, or you can just listen as I read Romans 3:10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11 says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. All of our religion, all of our self-effort, trying to do good, trying to do goodwill, if you will, do nothing but take you to hell. Everything, if you try to get to heaven your way, you'll split hell wide open. You go ahead, you try to do it in your own strength, you're going to split hell wide open. Yes, I am preaching truth this morning. I'm going to go ahead and give you the truth of the Word of God. I don't want you to go ahead and hear like this young man did and then just walk away from the truth. I want you to fully know that the only way to Jesus, to heaven, to your mansions in glory is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. You can try it on your own self-merit, but you'll split hell wide open. Your self-effort. Salvation is based on Christ and what he did on Calvary. He also had a faulty understanding of the Savior. Notice he called Jesus Master. This means teacher. He saw Jesus as one who could teach him the way of God. Now follow me real closely these next couple minutes. What he did is what many people do today. You will never be saved by just following his teachings. That's work salvation. You will never be saved by just following his teachings. He did not just come to show the way. Jesus did not just come to show the way. He is the way. Again, John 14:6. I've quoted it 3 or 4 times already this morning. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Where's the Father? In heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. This preacher, I can't get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You know what? There's all kinds of religion out there that'll tell you, you go ahead and you go to some little confessional and the Pope will go ahead or the priest will go ahead and absolve your sins and that'll go ahead and get you to heaven. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I'll just say it again. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't you get bought into that thing. You know, that is a lie. There's only one man, it left me. But you know what? You've got to go through Jesus Christ. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. He had a faulty understanding of the Savior. You know, you will never be saved by just following his teachings. That is doing. That is work. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. Salvation to be reality in your life, you will have to come to the place where you recognize that Jesus Christ alone is all men need to be saved. Yes, I get it this morning. You've been saved, most of you. I trust you have anyway. I don't know your heart. But you know, by your profession telling me that, well, I could take you to a place, preacher, when I got saved, you know, most everybody here, I believe you've been saved. But maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice that you have kind of fallen into some other trap, if you will, that the priest will go ahead and save you. You go ahead and you get baptized, you get sprinkled, you get poured, you get whatever the case may be. We'll go ahead and take you to heaven. You take the sacraments, that'll go ahead and get you to heaven. By the way, that is all good works. If you're trusting on a baptism, if you're trusting on a sacrament, if you're trusting on a communion table, if you're trusting on some man other than Jesus Christ, hell's your eternal destiny. For he said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Stop following a lie on what you must do. You know, listen, if salvation was based on our works, then answer me this question. How much work do I have to do? How do I know I've done enough? How do I know that I have gone ahead and fit the criteria that God has? How do I know that? How do I know I've done enough? Man, I'm glad that I don't have to earn my way to heaven. It's already been done through Jesus Christ. We see this poor slave's dilemma. Then we also see this poor slave's discovery. Verse number 17 through 21. Let me just read a couple verses here. Verse number 18. Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth up. Let's look at the discovery of this poor lad. As a young man speaks with Jesus, the Lord is revealing the truth to this young man, and he's revealing two very important areas to this young man. He first of all learned of his spiritual condition. That's what soul winning is all about. If you're a soul winner, you've got to go ahead and you've got to show them, okay? When you got saved, for instance, you had to learn of your spiritual condition. You had to understand that you were lost. Now, during this encounter with Jesus, he was confronted with one with who he really was. He was lost. He was on his way to hell. And you'll never come to Jesus for salvation until you see yourself as you really are, lost. You can't do anything to save yourself. It's already been done through the cross. It's Jesus Christ that saves. You have to know that you're lost and on your way to hell before you can be saved. Many won't do that. Many will say, perhaps, kind of as this guy said, I'm all set. I've got it all. I live a good life. I'm good. My stuff is all I need. But he had to discover his spiritual condition, but he also discovered that he was really poor. As far as earth is concerned, he was rich. He had it all. He had the finest of everything. But he had discovered that he was really poor in verse number 22. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. It tells of his wealth, that verse right there. His money could buy him a lot, but his money could not buy what his soul needed. His money could buy anything. I mean, if he got in trouble, if he had a health issue, he could go to the doctor, take care of the bill just like that. You know, he had it all, if you will, but his money could not buy what his soul needed at this time. Doesn't matter what you possess this morning. Doesn't matter if you have all the stuff. If you have religion, if you have human goodness, if you have kindness, it cannot buy you everlasting life. Regardless of what you have, until you have Jesus, you are bankrupt spiritually. You're spiritually bankrupt. He discovered that he was pitiful. He came to Jesus thinking that he was a moral man. Verse number 18b, let me just read. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, all through there. And verse number 20 as well. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth up. You know, he came to Jesus thinking he was a moral man. I've kept the commandments. I've kept the law. But he found that he was lacking spiritually. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. See, Jesus is not teaching work salvation here. He's getting to the root of this man's spiritual problem. By the way, that's what we do as soul winners. When we go to someone that's lost and we ask them, if you're to die today, do you know 100% sure you go to heaven? You know what? You've got to, first of all, they've got to know that they're lost. And you got to go ahead and help get to the root of their spiritual condition here. That's exactly what Jesus was doing here. Jesus is showing him, regardless of what he may think about himself, in the eyes of the Lord, he's still a sinner in need of a Savior. You know, let me just say, it doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank today, you still need a Savior. It doesn't matter how poor you may think you may be, you still need a Savior. Do you realize that every one of these bus kids that came in off the bus this morning, you know what? They need Jesus. Every adult here this morning, do you know you need Jesus? Every teenager that's in teen church right now downstairs, you know what? They need Jesus. Every 3, 4, and 5-year-old, a little church service going on for them right now. You know what? You know why we're teaching them at that age? Because they need Jesus. Amen. Everyone in the 1st through 5th grade, the junior church as we call it, you know why we're teaching them the scriptures? Because they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Doesn't matter what status we are. Doesn't matter, you know what? The president needs Jesus. You know, our politicians need Jesus. Our senators and our congressmen and women and on and on, mayors, you know, they all need Jesus. It doesn't matter. And Jesus is pointing out here this man's spiritual condition, and he was pointing out that you are a lost sinner in need of a Savior. Let me ask you a question. Do you need Jesus this morning? You say, well, I'm all set. Preacher, you know, I'm all set. You know, I believe that. I get it. I understand it, but not right now. Just stop and say this, you know what? Life is but a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You say, you're trying to be morbid? No, I'm not even trying to scare you, but it's truth. Go ahead and read the obituaries. How often you find an 18 or 19 or 25-year-old or 30-year-old in the prime of their life in the obituary? Thinking, man, I'm in the prime of my life. I still have my whole life ahead of me. No, you don't. No, you don't. Think of all the, go back to, I think it was 95, where the terrorist bombing, it was a domestic terror, you know, with Tim McVeigh in Oklahoma City. I remember pictures. My son was being born at that time. I remember seeing pictures and so forth of little babies being carried out of there. There was, I think, a little child care place in that building and so forth, if I remember correctly, and some babies died. Little babies. Man, you know, they're in the prime of their life. You know, they're young and they've got their whole life ahead of them. Think of people dying, just, we know the marathon bombings and, you know, 9/11, go on, and how many different people were in these buildings in New York and in the Pentagon and in Boston and all kinds of different tragedies and so forth. You know, 15, 20, 25, 34, 40 years old. Thinking, man, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get up and put my clothes on and eat breakfast, brush my teeth and go kiss my wife and go off to work and so forth. Got to come home. I'm going to come home and I'm going to have a good time with my family tonight. I'm going to do this tonight. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I can't wait for the weekend. I'm going to go to the ball game. I'm going to do this. You know what? We're not guaranteed next weekend. God says life's but a vapor. You know, listen to me. You know, if you're not saved here this morning, the Bible says today's a day of salvation. We ought to settle that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, God loves you. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Boy, you ought to settle that today. Don't be like the rich man who's really a poor old slave. And don't push Jesus away. Don't push the truth away. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as Savior, we'll give you that opportunity at the end of the service so that someone will show you from the Word of God that you can be saved. Yeah, but he found that he was lacking. Thought he had a lot, but he found that he was lacking. And, you know, there's no sadder figure in all the world than a person who's been deceived into thinking they are all right with God, but they're still lost in sin. That's what this guy was. You know what? He was deceived and thinking, I'm all set. I kept the law. I did this. I did this. I did this. Now he's kneeling before the very Son of God and so forth. And the Son of God is going ahead and teaching him the truth of how you be saved. And there's nothing more sad to, for a person to think, you know what, I'm all set. I am right with God. But they're still lost. A lot of people lost in religion this morning. In religion. A lot of religion, as I mentioned a moment ago, said you do, you do, you do, you do. You know, God's way says it's done. It's finished. He discovered also that he was really a prisoner. He thought he owned a lot of things, but he found out that a lot of things owned him. Regardless of what you have or what stands between you and the Lord this morning, no one or no thing is worth going to hell over. Regardless of what you have, let's think about this for a moment. Regardless of what kind of bank account, regardless of what kind of car you drive, regardless of the crowd that you may run with, let me tell you something, there's not one thing or one person that's worth dying going to hell over. You better be careful of that. Oftentimes, people will go ahead and they'll push God aside, and they're a prisoner in their own life, in their own stuff, in this and that, in their friends. They're afraid to get saved because, well, I got to go ahead and change my crowd. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, and you really you start growing in the Lord, let me tell you something. You know what? God will give you a new crowd. He'll give you the right kind of crowd. And you get saved and you get bought into the Lord and want to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you do what God wants you to do and you serve him, let me tell you something, he will give you a new crowd, and it won't be long before the old crowd's going to say, I'll see you later. You know, but oftentimes, you know what, we won't go ahead and get saved because of somebody. We won't go ahead and get saved because of something or some stuff or whatever the case may be. Don't let anyone or anything take you to hell. Bible says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then he also learned of the Savior's spiritual credentials. When he arrived, he thought Jesus was just another teacher. When he left, he knew that Jesus was God, and he was confronted with the truth about the Savior. He found some things out about Jesus. He discovered that Jesus was patient. In verse number 21, I love this verse. I read it over and over this week. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This is the act of a soul winner right here. The ultimate soul winner right here, though. But and then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. He discovered that Jesus was patient. Jesus took time to meet with this man just where he was. Listen to me. That's what soul winning is all about. It take time. I don't have time. Yeah, we do have time. You think about this. Jesus took time. You know, I got thinking, Jesus was in no rush. He wasn't there saying, you know, okay, here, let's go ahead and go through the scriptures here. Now, boy, you got to understand, you know, listen, let me just stop and say this. When you lead somebody to Christ, take your time. That's a very fragile soul that you're dealing with right there. And God has given you a very big and important responsibility. Take your time with him. Oh, you know, I've only got five. So what? You know what? Take that 5 minutes and take the 15 minutes you need to and go. You know, it probably took us 20 minutes. I'm talking about 20 thought-provoking minutes with a lost couple Thursday night. 20 minutes. There was no way in this world I was going to say, okay, listen real good now. Listen real good. You know, number one, you're a sinner. Number two, this friend. You know, no. I took my time. You know, let me say this to you soul winners real quick. Take your time. You know, clear out your mind and all the distractions. Man, oh, you know, I'm going to go this one more door. And don't have this attitude, oh, I hope it doesn't go very long. I'm supposed to be done here, but I'll go this one more door because I'm supposed to and get my track. And hopefully they'll just take your track and run away. No. If the Holy Spirit's there and the door opens wide and, boy, you know there's a connection, boy, you know what? Take your time. Push aside anything else you have to do at that moment and show them from the scriptures, show them the word of God. You know, that's what I think Jesus did. I'm very, very confident. He was patient. He took time to meet with this man just where he was and led him gently to a place of decision. Soul winning is not, hey, you want to be saved now? pushing them. No. I don't. That's not the way you do it. Holy Spirit's got to do all the work. I'm the messenger, just giving the gospel message. And if I'm going in the power of the Spirit, as I should be, every door that I go to, God gives me the opportunity to give them the wonderful gospel message, and I take the time. It's not my job to say, okay, you need to be saved, you know, in force feed. I'm not gonna do that. That's God, the one that's supposed to do all the work. Jesus, you know, I think you see soul winners, you see a very good example of how we should go soul winning here. You know, be very patient. You know, there are people that, you know, I think of this pastor, that the illustration I opened up with this morning. He said every week he went back by, trusting and hoping that this young man would be saved. But every week he went back by. You know what? Because the pastor knew, I can't force feed. I can't make him get saved. It's got to be a heart decision between this man and God. But you know, every week, patiently, I'm sure that this pastor said, man, I'll go by again. I don't think he's going to, you know, he probably had thought that. I remember him saying, as he was teaching us about church, but it was in college when he gave this illustration. You know, I remember him saying, every single week went by, just praying that he'd get saved. To that preacher's knowledge, obviously, he doesn't know if he got saved, but hopefully he did. But Jesus gently led him to a place of decision. Jesus looked at him. He did it with kind eyes and a compassionate heart. Again, verse number 20, beholding him, he was looking at him and loved him. Boy, talk about a compassion. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And every person, every individual is important to Jesus, and they should be to us. Let me just say this. Sunday school teacher, every individual in your class ought to be important to you. Every bus rider that rides a bus ought to be important to you. Every baby that goes into that nursery ought to be important to you, nursery worker. Every child that God gives you in your own home ought to be important to you. You know, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but there's so much about spending time with people right in that verse. Jesus was very patient. You can see his kindness. But sometimes we can be so abrupt with people, husband and wife. You know, did you clean up your room? Or the husband comes home and how come supper's not on the table? 5 o'clock, I'm hungry, and so forth. We can be so abrupt without even thinking about what your wife did all day. And he never picks up the socks, and he never does this, he never does this. And we never think, if you will, about what, man, he's done all day. We can be so abrupt. Boy, there's some lessons right there. But anyways, let's move on. But we see that he was patient. So, winner, you need to be patient. You can see him looking in his eyes. He had a compassionate heart. He loved on him. Regardless of the condition and the baggage of this young man was carrying, Jesus loved him, and he wanted badly to see him saved. But if you're not saved this morning, you know what? Jesus will do the same with you. He'll lovingly and patiently work in your heart, because he desperately wants to see you saved. But he also, this young man also discovered, not that he was just patient, but that Jesus was plain. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Oh, Jesus pulled no punches with this man. I like that kind of guy. You know, Jesus, yes, lovingly and gently spoke to this man, but he plainly tells them the truth. Hey, buddy, this is what you need to do to be saved. He plainly tells them, you know, some cringe at the truth. Some kind of back away from the truth. Some, you know, the preacher preaches on hell. I don't like that. You know what? Because the truth is being preached. Preacher, go ahead and preach against sin and so forth. And you know, the preacher has it out for me because he preached against my sin. No. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit has it out for you. You know, but so often, you know, we'll cringe to the truth. You know, some people don't like the truth. And what Jesus did was he gently went ahead and gave this man the truth. Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest. These words were a spiritual commentary on this man's, or a commentary on this man's spiritual condition. Jesus did not dispute the fact that he kept the letter of the law. He's merely telling this man that with all his possessions, his power, with all his prestige, with all of the position that he had, there's still one thing lacking, and that's what is lacking is Jesus Christ. Yeah, man, you've got it all, physically speaking. You're young, you got power, you got prestige. Yeah, but you are a rich, young ruler. But guess what? Jesus very clearly, very gently, but even very bluntly said, listen, one thing thou lackest. You lack me. You lack Jesus. Listen to me. You may be sitting under the sound of my voice thinking you've got it all. You're all set. No, you're not. If you don't have Jesus, you're not all set, my friend. You know, the day's got to come. Judgment day will come. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back. Are you going to be ready? He discovered that he was playing. He discovered that also that Jesus was precise. He was very clear in his presentation. Jesus gave this man a threefold command. In that threefold command, it says in verse number 21, he says, first of all, liquidate your possessions. This would release him from the power of his present little G-O-D God. This little man had, this little young man, if you will, this young ruler, he had power, he had prestige, as we talked about. And he says, you know what, liquidate your possessions. This would free him from that bondage of his present little G-O-D, God, stuff, things, and display a genuine love for others. Let me ask you a question. What has you trapped this morning? Are you bound up by possessions? Will you not get saved because you've got, physically speaking, you've got it all? Is that what's going to keep you from getting saved? Is that what's trapping you from getting saved this morning? Let me tell you something. If that's what's trapping you and you stay trapped till the very day you die, again, I'm speaking the truth of the Word of God, hell's your eternal destiny. But you don't have to stay trapped, my friend. You can be loosened. You can be free, if you will, this morning. And then he goes ahead and says, number two, take up thy cross. What is he saying with this? He's saying that you willingly identify yourself with Christ and his death. Be willing to absolutely die to self and all your interests and desires. Well, even Christians have a hard time with that. Even God's people have a hard time with that. But he's teaching this young, rich young ruler that you need to liquidate your possessions. You know, you need to be let loose of the God of stuff, if you will, but you need to take up thy cross. You know, before a person meets Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1 that they're dead. Dead to spiritual things, but alive to the world. But after salvation, they are dead to the world and alive to God, this Bible says. And then he says, not just take up thy cross. Don't just liquidate your possessions. But he says, follow me. That's the whole crux of the matter here. He's called to a place of decision. He asked basically in verse number 21, what must I do to be saved? He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus very clearly, very plainly, goes ahead and very kindly and patiently goes ahead and tells him what he must do. And he says, go ahead and liquidate. Go ahead and take up your cross. Follow me. Leave the old world behind and follow Christ from this moment on. He was to place his faith and his life in the hands of the Lord. You know, the happiest people I know are those that have fallen to Christ this morning. They have left. I know preachers. I went to Bible college with preachers. I went to Bible college with a dentist. A dentist. I mean, this guy, he had bucks. I mean, he was the only college student I knew. I mean, he was an adult man, but the only college student I knew that drove around in a BMW. I drove around in a little Ford Taurus, you know. But anyways, but he gave up all. I remember talking to him and sat with him in chapel a couple different times, talking to him. He says, you know what? I came to the point that I was not happy doing dentistry. I had the money. But, you know, he got his heart right with God. He was called to preach as a young man, if I remember correctly. And, you know, he pushed that away, and he went into dentistry and had his big old practice and made all kinds of money. Now he's like 40-plus years old and so forth. And the Holy Spirit was working on his heart for several years before then, realizing, man, you're out of the will of God. And finally he broke at a revival meeting and said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take up my cross. I'm going to follow him. He was a happy man when he did that. But you know, the happiest people I know are those that just place their faith in the hands of God, just place themselves in the hands of God. You know, can I just stop and say this? God will never steer you wrong. That's not very, that's, I know that's a very simple statement, but God will never steer you wrong. Yet we go ahead and we trust in ourselves and what we have and what we can do and so forth, and it's ourselves that steers us wrong. You know, Christian, let me ask you a question. Are you really placed, Christian? I'm not a child of God from. Are you really placed in God's hand this morning? Yeah, you're saved. But are you allowing God to go ahead and lead you? Are you following God? I'm talking to the Christian. I'm talking to we that are saved this morning for just a moment here. You know what follow means? You ever, if you still play follow the leader adult, then okay, that's fine. but you know, the child's game, follow the leader. You know, the whole gist of that game, okay, the object of that game is whatever the leader does, you do. I was playing follow the leader one time, and the leader went ahead and jumped into the pond, clothes and all. And I said, I'm not that dumb. Lived on a farm, we had a farm pond, and the leader had all his clothes on, and we were playing follow the leader and so forth, two or three of us guys and so forth. He went ahead and jumped into the pond. I said, I ain't doing that. Anyways, but listen to me. I was a rebellious follower. Listen to me. You know, you play follow the leader, the object is to go ahead and do, you know what, if God is truly your leader, you're going to go ahead and follow. Christian, let me ask you a question. Taken up your cross and followed him. I mean, are you committed to the Lord? Maybe this morning, boy, you know what? You used to be committed. You were in. But maybe materialism got in the way. Sorry, maybe you got that raise. And again, I'm not against a raise. I like a raise. I like little money in my pocket and so forth. I like that. But listen to me. Don't ever let that stuff get in the way of you following God. You know what, let me tell you something. The moment that happens, you know what, your demeanor, your countenance will change, and you know what, that's going to lead eventually to unhappiness. And eventually you look back and say, man, I could have won so many more people to Christ had I been so many, or done this, had I just gone ahead and really just stayed in and just served the Lord. You know what, one of these days you look back and say, man, I wish I took every opportunity that I had to be what God wanted me to be while I was on earth. Follow me. That's what he tells this young man. Then we look at this poor old slave's spiritual decision. This is the sad part of the story. He chose darkness over light. He walked away from the only hope of salvation. Let me ask you a question. Have you done that? Maybe you come to church every Sunday. Maybe you come to this church every Sunday where you're going to hear the truth plainly. You'll hear the plan of plainly and clearly. You'll hear that there's heaven and there's a hell. You'll hear that Jesus is the only way. You'll hear it, and you've heard it, and you know, you've got the heart. You've got the knowledge, if you will, the head knowledge of knowing how to be saved, but you do not have the heart. You sat there, maybe an invitation, you're holding onto the front of the pew saying, I know I should be saved, I know I should be saved, I know I should be saved, but you're letting whatever, you fill in the blank, keep you from being saved. Again, I made this statement a moment ago. Not one person or one thing is worth going to hell over. Not one. Not a one. He chose darkness over light. He also chose defeat over liberty. He loved stuff more than he wanted to go to heaven. You know, you can't take your stuff with you, amen? But you know what? Child of God, you can take that person you led to the Lord, that person that you influenced. Heaven's going to be so wonderful in this, one in so many ways, but this aspect as well. It's going to be awesome to see the bus kids, see the different people that I and or you even had a chance to influence. You know, I kind of wonder if heaven could kind of be like this. Maybe people that you've led to the Lord through the years and then you never saw them again. I mean, I kind of wonder if some of this is going to happen. Brother Sean, thank you. Thank you for taking time as you were in Chicago or whatever the case may be. Thank you for coming by, knocking on my door, and showing me how to be saved. I remember my first soul that I ever won to Christ. Her name, I'd never won a person to Christ in my life until I was 18 years old. Just a wet behind the ears college kid out of Howard Emerson College. Was in Chicago visiting and took my soul winning course, and I was all ready to go out on the bus route, and I knocked on the door of this old lady. Emily Donalds was her name. Emily Donalds. She had this little bay window there in her apartment, if you will, and she had a rocking chair facing this way and a rocking chair facing this way. And she came, of course, came to the door, brought me in. I sat there, and my sewing partner sat over there and so forth. Talked to her a little while, and, you know, you can picture me now. I can picture me now just kind of sitting back, rocking back and forth in the rocking chair, if you will, beside her. I said, Emily, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She says, no one's ever told me how to go to heaven. My first soul ever. Went ahead and showed her from the Bible how she could be saved. You know what? From that day, I've never seen her since then. You know what? Heaven's going to be wonderful to know that one day I'm going to see her again. You know, heaven will be wonderful, soul winner, Christian. Heaven will be wonderful to go ahead and see the people that you've helped influence, if you will, for the cause of Christ. But this man, he chose defeat over liberty. He loved stuff more than he wanted to go to heaven. He did not realize that he was trapped in the prison of materialism and all of the things that he loved. And Jesus was simply offering freedom from that prison. Just follow me. But he made a sad decision. He chose death over life. Jesus came that you might have life more abundantly. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. This young man did not choose the abundant life of Jesus, following Jesus Christ, though he just chose death over life. When this man turned away, he turned away the only one that could save his soul. He said, I'd rather keep what I have and go to hell and give up 1 cent and go to heaven. I'm not going to make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. That's in essence what he said. Because the Bible says, and he was sad. Jesus had just gone ahead and witnessed to him, given him the truth, lovingly, patiently, kindly, but bluntly, precisely. And the Bible says, and he was sad at the saying, and he went away and grieved, for he had great possessions. Likely this man went to hell. Likely. I don't know. The Bible does not say what might have happened from there on to death. Hopefully he got saved. But if we just go by this passage of Scripture, likely his possessions were always greater to him than Jesus Christ, the truth. Let me ask you a question. You know Jesus this morning? My friend, listen to me. I said it just the most loving possible way that I could this morning. But do you know Jesus this morning? Are you here? Maybe you've heard it. You've heard it 100 times over, the plan of salvation, through preaching, through this pulpit, maybe someone at your door, at your table. You've heard it, but you said, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Not right now. Do you know Jesus this morning? Are you trapped by stuff and not willing to go ahead and liquidate some of your stuff and just fully follow the Lord? You're trapped by your money. You're trapped by all kinds of things that you have accumulated. By the way, who gave you the ability to work and accumulate that stuff? God did. Yet we won't give. Yet we won't think about that for just a moment. God gave you that ability. But let me ask you, do you know Jesus this morning? You don't know him this morning. You know what? The Bible says today is a day of salvation. You ought to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I can't make you. I will not go ahead and grab you by the nape of the neck, say, you be saved. That's not my job. But the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart this morning. And you know there's an emptiness there. You know there's a void. Well, I encourage you this morning, without delay, to walk down this aisle. And I lovingly will come down. I'll shake your hand. And you tell me, preacher, I know I need to be saved. And I will gladly have someone show you from God's word how you can be saved this morning. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior. you ought to do so today. Don't leave an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church that preaches the truth and the way of salvation. Don't leave here without knowing him. Don't let things, just as this rich young ruler, keep you from going to heaven. Christian, maybe here today, maybe your commitment for the Lord's not what it should be. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, you know that, but even Christian people, good Christian people, can allow things, schedule things around, whatever. That promotion, again, I'm not against that, don't misunderstand. Money, stuff, go ahead and keep us doing what we're supposed to do. Let me ask you a question. Are you following him? Oh, you're excited one time, and your eyes were zoomed in on the Lord, and you were following him. And you even had the song, yeah, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. But let me ask you a question, Christian. Is that song still in your heart? Is there things in your life, you know it, is there things in your life that's hindering you from telling people about Jesus, going soul winning, even going to church, or whatever the case may be, reading your Bible? Rearing your kids, taking time, rearing your kids for the Lord. Are there things in your life more important? One of these days, Christian, listen, you know what? We're all going to face judgment day. I guarantee you, one of these days we're going to look back and say, man, I should have just stayed faithful, stepping, following, and going forward for the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for this message. I thank you for the opportunity to preach, Lord. I pray, God, that you would deal with every individually right now. Holy Spirit, this is the time. I believe you've worked in this message, in this morning service, through all the music and all that's went on here. But I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that you would do what needs to be done in each and every heart, mine included. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't quench you. Whether it be an unsaved person here today, they do not know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, I pray they won't push you away. And I pray today they'll go ahead and make that decision for Christ. Maybe there's a Christian here today that, you know, they're out of whack. They're not where they should be. They're not really committed like they maybe once were. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you will deal with that Christian, that one that ought to just get in and stay in and launch out into the deep and get out there and just do what you have called them to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, whatever it is that you need to do, may we be willing to follow you at this time. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. A couple questions. Maybe here today, you say, Pastor, I do not know for sure I'm saved. I've heard the gospel message. I heard it, as a matter of fact, just now in this message. Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. I want the Holy Spirit to do all the work. But I want to give you that opportunity to be saved. If you're here today, say, Preacher, I do not know for sure I'm saved. Would you please pray with me about this matter? Here's my hand. Here, just raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, but I want to be able to pray for you. Anybody at all like that, you say, Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but would you please pray with me about the matter? I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And we'll have someone show you from God's word. Anybody at all? Okay. And maybe you're here today also, Christian. You're not where you should be. You know it, and God knows it. Maybe there's some things that's hindering your Christian walk or Christian life, and you know it. But this would be the time to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he needs to do so that you can get back to following the Lord the way that you know you ought to follow him. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless. I pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do whatever it is you need to do on every heart now in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Christian, I gave you that opportunity. Maybe here today, you're not fully committed. There's some things in your life. Maybe here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. If you need to respond to the invitation, come talk to the Lord. It's time to do it as the pianist goes in place. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. The altar's still open. Going to finish this stanza. If God spoke to your heart today in any way, shape, or form, this time to go forward. Come forward. Take care of the business that the Lord wants you to take care of. I know there's one being dealt with right here, but as I do at the end of every Sunday morning service, I try to take a few prayer requests from you. Anybody have any prayer requests you'd like to have your preacher pray for? Brian? Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Be praying about that decision. Anyone else? Anyone else? Prayer requests? These are requests I'll have this week. Gary? Your aunt is the one that passed away? Pray for the family. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Prayer requests? Yes, Susan? The name again? Cadigan? Bobby Cadigan. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Michelle? Anyone else? Okay, I'll again have these requests. If you have any throughout the week, give me a call. And choir will be here at 5 o'clock for choir practice. You can come out